1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on another big weekend across Scottish football. Martin O'Neill is still in charge as Celtic beat Hibs and will go on to face Auchinleck Talbot in the Scottish Cup. Rangers drop home points yet again as boos ring around Ibrox at full time, and Hearts lead at the top sits at just 2 points with a big midweek card just around the corner. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna.
And please do not adjust your radios or television says this is not a repeat, this is live. But I have to tell you, some of the topics are the same as the last few Mondays, Kenny. Celtic fans can phone in, they still don't have a permanent manager. Rangers fans can phone in to complain about a team's performance at the weekend. You have people phoning in about VAR controversies, maybe Kilmarnock fans this week. And once again on a Monday night, Kenny, we're going to have to listen to Gordon Duncan purring about how good Motherwell are.
And they certainly are.
Disappointed we're 0-0 against the league leaders this week.
Yes, an exciting team to watch. I mean, again, from Glasgow against Celtic, get the job done. Again, it wasn't the best performance back in Glasgow. Uninspiring again from Rangers at home. More drop points, lack of creativity, not a lot of good attacking play. It's, I suppose it's on to Wednesday again. Sometimes that's the best thing. You've got a game, another game just around the corner that you can go and correct a bad weekend. So there's a lot of things to talk about. I'm sure there'll be a lot of fans want to phone and vent their frustrations or give some credit to where it's due.
It is an incredible piece of the season, this. Just so busy. Stories absolutely everywhere, as the guys have alluded to. So let's hear from you on 01419511025. If we're talking league football at the weekend, what about Easter Road yesterday? Celtic fans, it was another win under Martin O'Neill. Certainly a decent first half performance, maybe tailed off a bit in the second. But in the big picture of the title race, it's one that's now very much back in your hands, because Hearts, of course, dropped points at Fir Park on Saturday. So what did you take away from that? There were some big moments in the game as well. Always some moments of high controversy and high drama there at Easter Road. Rangers fans, desperate to hear from you, because I think back to this time last week where, understandably, to a point, loads of you phoned in and said, look, we're winning games and that's the most important thing. And our colleague Andy Halliday, I remember him saying, trust me, this is not sustainable. This will not keep happening if this performance level doesn't improve. And he's not even here to take the credit for getting it right. I don't know where he is, but we're delighted to have Kenny Miller in his seat. So what did you make of that yesterday, Rangers fans? Because of course it's a new head coach, so of course it's not all his fault and he can only work with what's there. And I know the players are taking a lot of the stick, but you must still be expecting more than this at this point in the season. So again, give us a call as we reflect on Ibrox yesterday. In terms of the league performances, as we say, St Mirren fans, are you starting to get worried yet? Can't believe I'm saying that, because you've been a general success story over the last few seasons. And then that cup draw, you're always looking for just something. Give us something exciting from the cup draw, and quite often it disappoints. But Auchinleck Talbot, the junior cup specialists generally, will take on the all-time record holders in the Scottish Cup, Celtic. Unbelievable tie that. A few other interesting ones as well, but that is clearly the standout. They've renamed Hampden, if you've got any strong thoughts on that. I'd kind of forgotten about that as we worked our way through the headlines. And we're on to a busy midweek as well, where Martin O'Neill will still be in charge. We did not see this coming, but there we are. So thoughts on that one as well, 01419511025. These two will whet the appetite. Kenny Miller, your result of the weekend, please.
Result of the weekend for me, again, I've kind of went hand in hand with a couple of my selections here. So I've went Falkirk for going to Ibrox again. It's the second time this season I've taken points off the Rangers team, and deservedly so.
You mentioned them, Auchinleck Talbot, Tommy Sloan's side. I saw them beating Cumnock earlier in the competition. They go and win 4-0 at Dumbarton. Unfortunately, it cost Stevie Farrelly's job as Dumbarton manager. And then the reward last night, Celtic at home. I'd love to hope it is at home. I'd love it to be at Beechwood Park.
I think it will be.
I genuinely don't know. I mean, there's obviously chat, and there always will be chat about, you know, moving it to Rugby Park. Kelly have a home fixture that weekend against Dundee. I don't know the logistics of it. But wouldn't it be great? Can you imagine Wilfred Nancy walking out at Beechwood Park, Auchinleck?
Any Auchinleck fans out there, you're more than welcome to get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. What about goal of the weekend? Who gets the nod, Kenny?
Mine's is in the Dundee game. Wesley cutting in and bending into the top corner. I mean, again, I didn't mind Dre Wright's as well, pinging into the near post. There were a couple of good goals in that game, but I just went for Wesley.
Hey, I'm going to go for Craig Sibbald of Dundee United.
Lovely goal, yep.
The equaliser at Rugby Park. Really good team goal, really good finish, and a really tidy player, Gordon. Never struck me as a regular goal scorer. I think that's now three in his last six for United.
Don't mind it. What about Howler of the weekend? It's usually easy. You've got loads to choose from.
Yeah, well, I don't think there was too many, but I've went hand in hand with the result. The fact that Rangers created so little in a game at Ibrox in front of their own fans. After winning four league games in a row, to create that little against, a team that's just been promoted, again, no disrespect, because they're doing wonderful, Falkirk, but that was me, Rangers forward play.
So we're going Rangers creativity, howling. Yep,
really bad.
That's the way to label it. Go on. What was your howler, Roger Hanna?
The Hibs goalie, Rafael Salinger, pass out to poor old Miguel Chewa. He slipped and fell. Celtic knocked the ball to Dyson Maeda, 1-0, and it just
was David Gray being generous there, saying it's just a slip. If he doesn't slip, everything's fine.
No.
He was under pressure, but he was under huge pressure,
and it just confirms my long-held belief, Kenneth, that goalies shouldn't wear pink. It just highlights a mistake.
I thought you were going to say goalies should just shell it.
At moments like that, there is an argument.
Or could have just passed it to his left back because he was open. But anyway, your howler of the weekend, top man of the weekend.
My top man of the weekend featured at tea time in this programme on Saturday. John Rankin, now former manager of Hamilton Accies. A man who has done a really good job in very trying circumstances, and if you Google the phrase "end of your tether," I think a picture of John Rankin will come up, because his bosses at Hamilton Accies, whoever they may now be, have pushed John Rankin to the end of his tether. What an emotional speech he gave to David Friel at Airdrie off the back of that 4-0 defeat. He said he would rather go and dig holes and paint walls than have to go through what he was going through at Hamilton Accies. It was a very courageous speech, and I hope John Rankin gets back into football very soon.
Yeah, well said. Go on then, Kenny. Finishes off. Your top man of the weekend.
So I said it was going hand in hand. So I've had Rangers and Falkirk. I've had Wesley. And the man who chose Wesley and the manner in which he chose him, in a dream. It came to him in a dream, Big Elvis. Stephen Presley, manager Dundee, wasn't going to play him, has a dream, puts him in the team, and he goes and scores the goal of the weekend.
See, he's gone man of the weekend for that. I'm tempted by Howler, because I cannot get over, right, that Stephen Presley, who hasn't been a popular choice, who's had some tough results, who's getting some stick, and something goes well, just take the credit. Don't tell anybody about the dream. It reminds me of that, you know, the comedian that pretends he's speech writing for famous politicians or whatever. Don't tell anybody about the dream. Just say you saw it all week in train. It was part of your master plan. But no, Stephen Presley says he picked his tactics based on a dream. Gordon, do you ever allow his dreams to eke into his football management career?
No,
don't answer that.
Although I've seen a few of his nightmare performances.
Don't answer it. 0141 951 1025. Graham's in Easterhouse. Graham, as a Rangers fan, talk to me. What are you thinking?
Skinnered. Absolutely skinnered. See some of the players: Ahrens, Giga, Ashgard, and another. They look like competition winners. They look as if they'd won a raffle. Right, they're a pair of boots, son, go and play. They're miles off it. Don't create nothing. See the big striker, he was making runs all day and never getting the ball and passing it backward. The big guy got fed up with it, dropped in, and that's not his game. Some of the runs he was making were great, and they were passing the back each other. Three passes where one pass would do. And David Brent and that other clown have left, and they've left us at shambles. They've put us back about 3 years. It's an absolute nightmare out there, and you're sick of it. See, the man of the week for me, there's a guy sat next to me, walked to it after 30 minutes and went, "That's not going to get better," and went away home. I still went to him.
He knew it was coming. Was that kind of, I was going to say up there or down there, whatever way you want to look at it. You know, you maybe thought you were kind of over those performances to an extent, Graham. Was that as bad as it's been this season?
Aye, definitely. See when we were doing the leagues, Gordon, see the wee teams that came, Arloa, Brechin, they were making chances against Rangers. We're not even making chances. There's absolutely zero up front. The big boy's running his heart out, and they're getting the ball, three passes forward, three passes back, and my guy's blowing out his backside, making runs, and he's getting pelters for being useless. They won it.
Well, you said that, Kenny. You said specifically the creativity, because look, there's clearly a lot wrong with Rangers. That's why they are where they are. But They didn't concede at the weekend. Well, I'm not saying that's like a great credit, but you know, there was no massive defensive deficiencies, but the creativity, I don't know if people are XG men or not, but all the stats just tell you they're not making anywhere near enough chances.
Yeah, and it's no changed over the course of the season, you know, and that's where I can understand Graham's frustration and the rest of the Rangers fans that, yeah, they won four league games in a row, but that was coming yesterday because Rangers rode their luck against Livingston. Again, they probably never deserved to beat Hibs away at Easter Road that night. These kind of results are always going to happen because you can't play that way and expect everything to go your way and you get the result. So I think yesterday was coming. Again, credit to Falkirk for going there and playing the way they played. But for a Rangers perspective, at home, when you, again, you've spent a lot of money in your forward areas, you have to be given more. You have to be more creative, and you should be creating more than what they're creating at this moment in time.
Is the alarming thing, Roger Graham had a fairly lengthy list, but I'm pretty sure if we gave him the chance, it could go on. If you were going to name individuals that weren't contributing in the way that you wanted
just Google the squad and get through them.
Yeah.
13 league games, 17 goals. Back in the day, you know, when Kenny was there a couple of times, Rangers would score 17 goals in a month. They've scored 17 goals in 13 games. Falkirk, could have played yesterday, I've got 19. Dundee United, who played on Wednesday night, I've got 19. You know, no disrespect to Falkirk and Dundee United, they're decent goal hauls for the two of them. But to have scored more goals than Rangers after 13 games is ridiculous. I was at the game yesterday. Graham, the boy sitting next to you, was really lucky that he could get up and go after half an hour. I had to wait to the end for Super Scoreboard and for the Scottish Sun. I had to wait. And then I had to wait an hour afterwards and do all the interviews as well. It was a difficult watch. Normally, a lot of the time this season, if you've seen Rangers on TV or, you know, I've seen the highlights or something, sitting through 90 minutes at Ibrox yesterday was a difficult watch.
I mean, Graham, what about the bigger picture? Because I've seen a lot of Rangers fans, understandably, saying that you can't really blame Danny Rule because they're not his players. And you mentioned that you think Kevin Thelwell, amongst others, have set you back. But what does that look like then? Can Danny Rule get nothing more out of these and you just have to wait and then hope that January's brilliant? Or how do you feel overall?
I don't think they've got it in them, honestly. See, he's given them all a chance. He's given Barami a chance, he's given Ascot. He's not, the only one he's not given a decent chance is a wee boy Lyle Callum. But he's not going to make much of a difference. Even Tavernier and Raskin, they're falling into the same trap as the rest of them. They're coming right down to their level. It's affecting the whole club, mate. We're not going to get any better with their players. We've spent 30 million on Dross. 30 million quid that cost.
That's a bad combination. Sorry, Graham, I was going to say on that point you made to Kenny, that's a bad combination if the recruitment's been poor, which obviously it has, but the guys that were already there that you hoped you could rely on, whether it's Raskin or whoever, not necessarily having good seasons either.
Yeah, that's because, again, when you look at these, I mean, Raskin's a good player. I mean, Tavernier has been a good player over his 10, 11 seasons at the club, but they still need players about them, you know, like they're not these, it's no Messi you've got, you can just give the ball and they can go and create something, you know. I mean, it's, you can get dragged down, and it's not just about the players that can be the result, it's the whole circumstances. Again, you go to Ibrox now, and it is flat. It is absolutely flat, because I think fans turn up and they know what they're going to be watching. They want to get behind their team, of course they do, and they want to see a performance, but it's up to the players on that pitch to give them something, give them some kind of energy to get behind, because they will get behind you. But that yesterday, there you go, you have people leaving after half an hour.
I said at the top, Roger, I kept remembering last week when Andy Hall, a caller came on, I think, and was really, I think he said Rangers would win the league. And by the way, I don't know, they might, I have no idea. But, you know, based on the fact that they were digging out wins when they weren't at their best, and Andy was so quick to say, that is only a good thing if you do it once every now and then. If you do it multiple games in a row, it'll catch up with you.
Yeah, very much so. And listen, you know, Graham is clearly at the end of his tether with this team, but Rangers could be playing yet and wouldn't have scored a goal.
Thank you, Graham. Graham said he was scunnered. How would you describe it, Tam, in Paisley?
Probably about the same, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
It's hard just now to watch that, but you can't blame Danny Rowe at all. He's got nothing else to choose from at all. The players show no creativity, as you have said, no fight, no nothing, and it just looks like half of them don't even want to be on the park anymore.
What do you make of that? Because I obviously understand the logic, I'm just trying to explore it further. I'm not saying Danny Rowe takes a lot of the blame, of course he doesn't, he is stuck with these players, but you know, the head coach or a manager always just has to take responsibility for something. So I'm trying to figure out how much. Don't indulge me to use the example. Everybody's banged on about it, where Motherwell get a new manager, and look, you can just see so clearly what they're trying to do. Now there will be limitations in personnel. When Ange Postecoglou first came in, you could see it, but then you go, well, is Anthony Ralston suited to being that inverted fullback? And I've just picked him as an example, or somebody else. And you know, you then recruit in time. Can you see it yet? No. Or is the squad that bad that still Danny Rowe gets exemption on that front as well?
I can't see it at the moment. Danny Rowe is exempt at the moment, but that will turn. You know, it will turn. We are, 4 weeks away from a January transfer window where everybody says it's not an easy transfer window to go and improve your squad. You're going to have to pay over the odds potentially if it's someone's performing, or you're going to be signing someone who's not playing. Mm-hmm. So how does that fit in? So it will turn if results and performances don't improve. Because from a coaching perspective, and I'm in the game now, and we've had this thrown at us in as a manager and as an assistant manager, you have to improve what's in front of you. You know, I think one of the remits when he came in was you have to get more out of these players. We've spent a lot of money on this group of players that we expect to come and perform better than what they have. So you have to get more out of them. So it is not his fault because he's not signed the players. He's had no part in signing the players. But as a coach, a head coach, or an assistant coach, you have to try and get more out of them.
Because the argument we sometimes hear on these, loosely, if we compare it to what the analysis of Brendan Rodgers in his latter days, okay, a squad is not good, but the Rangers have better players than Falkirk.
Yeah,
the Rangers have better players than Livingston. Yeah. Should you still be able to squeeze, even if it's a bit, should they be squeezing more out of what's there at the moment?
Yeah, I think they probably should. Danny Rowe is exempt. I thought he spoke well after the game yesterday. He realises, the same as the rest of us realise, that he's inherited a squad that isn't nearly good enough. He changed the front four. It was a different four from started Braga on Thursday to started Falkirk yesterday, trying to inject a fresh bit of energy. There was no energy. Graham, the first caller, mentioned Max Ahrens, a left back with no left foot, just continually turns back inside. I cannot begin to tell you how poor, how pedestrian Rangers were yesterday. January will be crucial for Danny Rowley. He spoke about it yesterday. There is now no sporting director there to assist. That might not be a bad thing. Danny Rowe could probably, have a major say in driving the January recruitment. It is a notoriously difficult window, but he would be doing well to make this team any worse than it is.
Don't necessarily want to make it unfair on individuals, Tam, but I am curious as to maybe who, a couple of the players that you think are most culpable for this lack of creativity.
I think it's Ant-Man's a big problem, I'd say, just now. He's shown nothing. Even the midfield as well. It should be simple enough with Bojan Miloski up top to play the ball over the top. He latches onto it and he scores. In theory, that's what should happen. But it just doesn't seem like any of the players have a clue what they're doing. I don't think Pep Guardiola can get me out of their players, if I'm honest.
We always talk about, recruitment is hard. It's really hard. We talk about, I've heard someone, a kind of specialist in this area, talking about genuinely 5 and 6 out of 10 can be considered good. If you, sign 10 players, if you can get about 60% of them right, it's usually not bad. But what's the percentage?
It might be down to 2 or 13, and at this stage
the 2 are look at, it could be generous,
and again, it's still early in this statement. You're 4 or 5 months in, so it's still early, so things can turn, but Rangers, they need something now. This is why the Shermetti signing was really, really strange for me, signing that, spending that amount of money on a player who had done so little, when Rangers need someone to come in and really impact this team and carry them forward.
There's not a single signing that was brought in under Kevin Thelwell that improved last season's team. Not a single one. Gassama looked good in flashes at the start of the season, but to me he's no better than Vaslav Cherny was last season. He's not an improvement than Vaslav Cherny. And you see Igaman going, Dessers gone, the goals that Cherny brought gone. They're worse in every area of the team.
Thank you very much to Tam. Keep the calls coming, whether it is on that topic or something else. You decide, let us know, and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller, joined now by John on the line. How are you, John?
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Tried to get on last night, heading back for the game yesterday. And I was saying that to the producer. That's one of the worst Rangers performance and one of the worst games that I've probably ever seen at Ibrox. It was absolutely horrible. There was no desire. There was no effort. There was nothing there. Falkirk could have actually probably sneaked the win. Big boy up front had a couple of chances. I think he had three chances in the space of maybe 6-7 minutes. And there's just no desire. Now, don't quote me on this. I think the big boy was playing left back for Falkirk. Played with Glasgow University. I played with one of the university teams last year.
Harriet Watt, wasn't it?
I mean, there you go, for example. Watch that big boy.
No. Hold on, I'm getting the mixed up. He's the Cumbernauld Colts.
The right back was Killen Adams, who was at Glasgow Uni, and then went on to Cumbernauld Colts.
Cumbernauld Colts, sorry. Yeah. But the point still stands, doesn't it?
The desire for a boy like that, right? And we've got guys that are on absolute fortunes. No trying a leg, no desire. And the Rangers managers inherited this. I mean, we were scoring goals for fun last year, really. Dessers, Journey, Enigaman. What have we scored at the moment? 3-4? I think I watched the Scottish Cup draw last night. I think it popped up 4 or 5 goals or something.
Oh, you know what? Guys. Do you know why it popped up, John? He's so proud of himself because Andy Halliday texted me this in the afternoon. Now, he's obviously gone on Sports Scene and he's got them to make up a wee graphic for his stat. So I've got to hear the message he sent me yesterday. Dessers, Igaman, Cherny, 63 goals between them last season. They're replaced by Antman, Miovsky, Chermiti, 3 goals by December. So those three need to make up 60. And look, I know it's not that other people can score. I get that. But as an isolated comparison, that does not make good reading.
No, it does not. Again, it all feeds into everything, what a lot of the callers have been saying tonight, what we said at the top of the show. There is a real lack of creativity in Rangers' attack. You know, they don't. It's not as if they're at home and it's nil. Even in the last 20 minutes of a game, you would expect a Rangers team to be knocking that door down to go and get that winning goal. Because they could have been creating chances and chances, and it could have been one of these days. It wasn't that. And at the end of the game, it was tame. You know, and you finish with really, really poor stats. There's not a lot of chances. And like John said, Falkirk could have nicked it at the end, you know, because they stayed in the game.
That's a really good point. We can all analyse it in depth, Roger, but see just about the way this feels at the moment. I can maybe speak to Falkirk, you know, being a Motherwell fan, it maybe feels like Falkirk or Livy or however that the smaller team's going there. I feel like I, all through my childhood and teenage years, went to Ibrox and there were some bad Rangers teams that might, or poorer Rangers teams, they still might beat you 3 or 4 nil. There was some underperforming Rangers teams who you still, if you were going to get anything, you had to really ride your luck. You had to hack things off the line. You had to put bodies, refereeing decisions maybe need to go your way, whatever. It doesn't feel that way anymore.
I think it was well put. I think when Rangers under Russell Martin went to Firth Park very, very early in the season.
First game.
Draw. And I remember Tam Cowan saying at the time, Motherwell season ticket holder Tam Cowan saying, when Rangers used to come to town, he would watch the Rangers team coming out, and he said there was always somebody that worried you. You know, it used to be McCoist, or it was Boydie and Kenny, or, you know, even in recent seasons, you talked there about the goals that Dessers scored. He said there was always somebody in the Rangers team you thought, oh, I hope he's a bad day, we need to keep him quiet. And he said he watched that Rangers team in the first day of the season, and there was just nobody. There was nobody there who frightened you. And I don't think there's anybody in the Rangers team that frightens anybody in the Premiership anymore.
Is that the alarming thing, John, where you can't really bank on any game at the moment, can you? You know, if it's Livy coming to Ibrox and Falkirk coming to Ibrox, with no disrespect, they should be the ones that you might think, right, we'll win them, and then, you know, maybe we struggle away at, I don't know, away at Tynecastle, away at Easter Road. It doesn't feel like you're going to any game with confidence at the moment.
Well, funnily enough, I said that to my friend heading over to the game. I said, teams are coming to Ibrox and they're not coming fearing coming to play against Rangers. No way back in the days when you had your Durant, your Derek Ferguson, your Ian Ferguson, your John Browns. These guys would run through brick walls for you. People came to Rangers fearing what they were up against because there was lots of, they were like a big gang. They've been on that part, 11 of them, and they get wired in And they probably, that is long gone. Even when you see it, I'm in the hospitality, for instance, and I hear it, or maybe the players are in yesterday, and you've got your John Browns, your Durants, and all the rest of the guys, your Lee McCullochs. And when they're passing through the hospitality and you're sitting there and they're blaring away and you don't want to be a pest and try to talk to them, but you say hello and all the rest of it. And all I hear any time I'm in hospitality, wish me due playing, wish me due playing. What happened to the days when you were, don't get us new, that is constant. I even heard it yesterday. I even said to my pal, I said, me and you'd be better getting the boots back out to the loft, get the Copa Mundi owls, and we could even do a better job. It was absolutely horrendous. You had wee Svenny's son playing Brad in the middle of the park. All he was doing was sitting in the holding role and just doing the simple thing. It was actually cringing yesterday.
Since we're looking at, I know it feels like you're looking at different ways to criticise Rangers. This is Falkirk, obviously, who've gone League One, Championship, come up. And John McGlynn said he didn't think they played very well yesterday.
Yeah,
he thought they could have played better.
They were in League One 19 months ago. And I know, you know, people have mentioned Keelan Adams there. Brad Spencer's got a mention. What about the lad Conor Allen? Rangers let him go in January for nothing. Just let him go to Falkirk. 21 years of age. The boy came back yesterday and absolutely strolled it at centre half. Meanwhile, Rangers fans are queuing up to have a pop at Manny Fernandez and Nasser De Giga at the back. You know, one of whom cost £3.5 million, and the other is on loan, having moved for £10 million. And Conor Allen strolled it. So,
do you recognise that, Kenny? From, because you played in various Rangers teams, some that I'm sure you thought were top, but there would have been times, I'm sure, when you didn't necessarily think you were a top version of yourself, but you had that, you had a superiority against a lot of the teams in the league when they came to Ibrox.
100%. When I came back in 2014, and it was in the team that was in the, just got into the Championship, and we weren't the best Rangers team ever. And you know what? We had a real bad season that year, but you still had some decent players in the building, you know, and you still had guys that would still be carrying that type of aura about them, that you still that were still Rangers, you know, so we can't. Listen, it never worked out that year. We had a really bad year. But even moving into the, we come back into the Premier League, we still had Lee Wallace is still there, Andy Halliday's still there. I was there, but Tafford came in, Martin Wacorn was like, we had good players, you know. I look at Rangers now and I agree with the callers where they're saying teams are coming now and fancy their chances. I watch it now and the games are 50-50 for me. It can go either way. Livingston went Rangers' way, yesterday never. You know, and it could have went against Rangers at the end with the Falkirk couple of chances. But the games are 50-50 now. You know, there's not that, dominance. Possession doesn't always show dominance. When you're battering down that door and it's chance after chance and there's shots and there's real goal-scoring chances and your players are the players that are taking the game by the scruff of the neck, that's when you're dominating a team and that's what you expect for Rangers and Celtic when you go to Ibrox or Celtic Park. It's not happening at the moment, Ibrox.
Thank you, John. What about Mark and Clydebank? How would you sum it up, Mark? What's annoyed you about it all?
I don't agree with the fact that I think that Rangers have better players. I heard this a couple of minutes ago. Sorry, Roger, but I don't see that. I think Rangers are probably the weakest back four in the league. I think we've got a midfield that can't create, even if you drew them a map. And I think there's a strike force up front that couldn't hit a barn door. There's nothing to suggest to me that team would get any of the current Rangers squad would get in any other team. I don't think that Raskin gets in the midfield of Falkirk ahead of even Scott Arfield, who didn't start. I don't think that Diomande gets ahead of Braga at Hearts. I don't think that any of our back four, including Tav, to be fair, probably gets in any other team. There's absolutely nothing to suggest that we have better players, because I don't believe that monetary value for the player equals quality. Chimity's proved that.
Yeah, I know what you mean up to a point, Mark, and clearly in current form, and I've done this myself as well. You speak to your mates and say he wouldn't get in that team, but John McGlynn would sign Nicholas Raskin. Right? Let's be very clear about that. If you phoned John McGlynn tomorrow and said, we'll give you Nicholas Raskin on a free, he would take him, right? I know it's not worked out, and maybe in time, but every other team would have taken Bojan Miovski based on what he did at Aberdeen. So I get what you're saying up to a point in the performance level, but surely they should still be doing better.
I agree with that 100%, but what I don't agree with is the fact that I don't think currently they are better. They should be, yes. They are, no. They're not. They're not better. I've watched them now, I've been to the games and I've watched them for the last 13 games, it is the same thing on repeat, and it's more hope than planning, and there doesn't seem to be any real drive to go out and win the game. They don't start playing the game until they get into the second half. The first half, most of it, they're flat-footed, or they're caught sleeping, or they're jogging about. They're not, whether they are more talented and not showing it, possibly, but I don't see anything that tells me that my Rangers team have got better players than the rest of the teams in the league.
I think the truth has to be somewhere in the middle. I mean, defensively, they've only conceded 11 goals. Only Celtic have conceded fewer. You know, Hearts have conceded 11 goals. Nobody's complaining about them at the back.
And yet you watch some of the individual moments and you think it is exactly a worry.
But I mean, some of the players, it would drive you daft. I mean, Thelo Haskard is going to the World Cup. He shared 8 goals with Erling Haaland in a qualifier earlier in the season. You know, Miovski will lead the line for North Macedonia in a playoff to get to the World Cup.
And then what was it? Most assists in the Eredivisie last season or something.
15 assists last season for Go Ahead Eagles. So clearly, you know, Raskin, we touch upon there, playing with Kevin De Bruyne in the middle of the park for Belgium. Clearly these guys are technically talented footballers. Do they have the character to play in front of 50,000 fans at Ibrox? Do they have the character when they're up against it, against Falkirk on a Sunday, and the punters are beginning to turn after 15 or 20 minutes, and there's a few boos tumbling down from the stand? Clearly, at the minute, they don't have the character for it. They don't have the mental fortitude for it. And until such times as they are able to handle situations like that, they will be of little use to Rangers.
Okay, thank you very much. It's an interesting point. I like the way Mark and Clydebank put it, even if we disagreed and agreed with different bits of it. That was Mark, and I need to tell you about this before we move on.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
Right, these are the types of things we wish we didn't have to do, but once we do, we obviously try and do it in a creative way and give you the chance to win something as well. And this is top this. This is a great opportunity because all in the name of helping Cash for Kids, children on our doorstep that need your help, you could win a JQ5, so a brand new car. Right, now it's a lovely car. Alarmingly, we're sending Gordon DL down apparently to do his best Top Gear on it. Right, so I don't know if it'll still be a lovely car by the time he's finished with it, but he's going to go down and take a look, and you'll be able to see that. But it's a lovely car anyway, clearly worth tens of thousands of pounds, and it could be yours for a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. I can't imagine a scenario where you don't like the sound of that. It is the ultimate win-win. Text the word car to 84901. That donates £5 to Cash for Kids, and the car could be yours. It's incredible. Lines close 6 p.m. Saturday the 13th of December. We'll announce the winner Monday the 15th between 6 and 8. It's over 18s only. 100% of the donation goes to Cash for Kids. You can cancel your donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes. But all the rules are at Clyde1.com. So get yourself in the draw. Text CAR to 84901. And it's all thanks to Arnold Clark, who as always are massive supporters of Cash for Kids. You might as well do that right now, and we'll take your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller are here. The phone line's very much open, and loads of frustration from Ibrox yesterday coming through. It might be worth having a look at some of the other stories that are out and about. Roger Hannah, I'm sure we could probably do 6 hours on Rangers woes yesterday. This time, I was going to say this time last week, this time on Saturday evening, we and everybody was talking about Martin O'Neill's final game in charge, and it was a shame that he wouldn't get the chance to say goodbye at Celtic Park. Well, he will now.
Remarkable. It was in Asda yesterday morning, just down the road from New Garden, and I get the phone call to say Martin O'Neill's just been in Sky and says he's staying on.
Don't like that Asda very much, but anyway.
Well, good, listen, other supermarkets are available. I couldn't believe it. Still no deal has been done for Wilfred Nancy. I believe Martin spoke again this morning and said it will be done this week. But it's 5 weeks today since Brendan Rodgers left Celtic, and Martin O'Neill has done Celtic a monumental turn. A, by stepping into the breach, and B, by getting the results, Midgetland notwithstanding. Again, another result yesterday. It's strange, you know, Andrew McLeod in the show last night with Daz and Ross was getting phone calls from Celtic supporters saying, it wouldn't really bother me if Martin stayed on, you know? which is an inevitable consequence of this.
I did a really, really good, if I do say so myself, farewell Martin O'Neill interview with him on Friday, where we spoke about looking back and how it would, how it had all been.
You can play it again in Thursday, so, and then again a week in Monday, and then again after that.
As Roger said, though, Kenny, the thing that is important about this is I don't think anyone in the Celtic support is disappointed by this, because they like Martin O'Neill and they like the job that he's doing. But it's just quite something that he was the one, because he's become the spokesperson for the Celtic. Famously don't say much about much. He's the one that's updating people. Oh, this will be my last game. Oh, actually, this won't be. It's a fascinating few days.
It's really strange, because again, it sounded like the St Mirren one was going to be the last, and that was the day he was going to get up to St Mirren, and then Wilfred Nancy would come in, and then it extended a week, and now it's leading into the game at Celtic Park on Wednesday night against Dundee. So, I mean, again, I'll say it, I've said it 2-3 times on the show, Celtic don't need to rush. When you've got Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham, Stephen McManus, all these guys in the building at the helm taking the club forward, there's no need to rush. It's just it has dragged its heels over the last 2 weeks.
Do you think if Martin kept saying that half an hour before games, actually it's not my last game, I'm going to stay on for the one at the weekend as well, then he could just go on as long as he likes, because Celtic never say anything.
There is every chance. Let's bring in Richard, who's a Celtic fan, and get his take on it. You won't be annoyed to see Martin O'Neill staying on longer, I can't imagine, Richard.
No, not a chance. I'm actually really happy Martin O'Neill's here. He was a legend 20 years ago and he's still a legend today. He's brought a bit of life back into this squad, I think, man. A bit of happiness, a bit of confidence. And I just think the longer this does drag on with Martin O'Neill, though, like it, the whole Wilfred Nancy thing, if this keeps dragging on with Martin O'Neill staying here and staying and staying, I think Wilfred Nancy might come in and disrupt it, and I think it might go pear-shaped. So if we're going to get him in, I'd say get him in before the weekend, because and give him a wee bit of a heat start. He should have been in for Dundee, man, to be honest. He should have been in for that. I was quite I'm quite happy for Nancy to come in, but I do think it should have been a wee while ago, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Just think I don't want the Celtic team to be disrupted, because everything has gone quite well at the moment, and I just think if we gave Martin O'Neill a wee bit of leeway and he bought some players in January, it would take a few wee tweaks and he'd get his romp in the league, I think.
Because now he's going to get within, I don't know exactly, 10 days, 9 days of the League Cup final. It was just a personal thing. I never thought he would take the League Cup final. I know we had calls for it at the time, but I just thought there is a big picture here. You're trying to really plan for the future. Get your guy. Of all the managers we could get, we want Wilfred Nancy. We've got a transfer window. So I never thought he would take the final, Roger. But like I said, by Thursday, Friday, you're nine to ten days away from the cup final. And thank you, Martin, and on you go.
We were discussing it the other week there, saying, well, Martin might be asked to stay on for those three tough away games, St Mirren and Feyenoord and Hibs, because that might be difficult for Wilfred Nancy and you might not want him to take them. And Martin's taken the three of them, and he's won the three of them. Mm. And he's literally said he's staying on for Dundee on Wednesday night. So after that, Wilfred Nancy's first three games could be Hearts, Premiership leaders at home, Roma, you saw what they did at Ibrox, coming to Celtic Park, and then St Mirren in a League Cup final. So suddenly he's got three games that look harder than the three games you didn't want him to have before. So it's a really, really difficult situation. I do not know how it is going to resolve itself. It will resolve itself. But I think Celtic supporters probably deserve some degree of clarity and transparency as to what on earth's going on. Because you imagine if Rangers had waited 5 weeks before getting the manager, Celtic supporters would be on this show mocking them.
But it's so different because of who's an interim.
That's what I'm saying earlier on. What a turn Martin O'Neill has done them.
Because Kenny, this works in such a strange way where if Martin O'Neill had just lost a few more games, it'd be easier for Richard to say goodbye. Yeah. But Celtic's plan was that he would come in and do well, but by doing so well, like I say, it makes it harder. People are now thinking, well, do we need to do it? Do we need to do it now? Can we do it at a different time? We've had all sorts. We've had keep him on as an advisor, keep him on as... People have created roles for Martin O'Neill, who's probably happy just to go back and live the life that he had. But it's the more he wins, the harder it is for the Celtic fans.
Well, Rodgers just went through the first three fixtures that Wilfred Nancy could potentially face. Hearts, which will be a top-of-the-table clash, who Hearts beat them well in the first game of the season. Roma, who went to Ibrox and dismantled Rangers, who are a very good team. And then a cup final. You just imagine the results don't go the way that Wilfred Nancy and Celtic would like, and you end up losing a cup final. Like, what hell would we break
Do you think
loose,
you'll get any calls to say, should I stick with Martin O'Neill?
Stick with Martin
I
O'Neill.
Think that would be the safest bet of all time, that would be on the phones.
And it would be. And that's why Celtic didn't need to rush, because they've got someone really capable at the helm.
And what a hard act it is to follow. Normally, Kenny, when a manager comes in, the place is in disarray. Like Danny Rowland coming into Rangers, the place is in disarray. Wilfred Nancy's coming in, the place isn't a better nick than it's been for quite a period of time.
Richard, because of all this, we've not really spoken about the title race and the implications from the weekend. Did this feel like a significant weekend, with Hearts dropping points for the third game in a row and you going to Easter Road and winning on the back of doing the same at St Mirren?
Aye, it did. It's always going to feel better when the league leaders drop points, and especially when we couldn't beat them. So I'm actually looking forward to playing them a wee bit more, because I think we'll give them a bit more of a game, because last time we played them, I just don't think Celtic's mentality was up there the way it is now. Their confidence needed up. And for me, I think keeping Martin on the own for the foreseeable, for the moment, I think we'll beat Hearts. I'm not going to be too optimistic, but I think we'll get a draw at Roma as well.
There we go. Things have changed very quickly at the top of the table, haven't they? So give us all your thoughts on that, please. There's loads of big talking points from the weekend that I'm still waiting on your calls from, so get them in on 01419511025, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. A new week, a fresh start, a clean slate, call it what you will. It's your chance to take on Roger Hanna or Kenny Miller for either the sign ball or the Beat the Pundit coin. You only have until 7 o'clock, so be quick, and we'll play Beat the Pundit next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here. It's 01419511025. Lots of talk tonight about the weekend's games, most notably at Ibrox. So much anger and frustration. Scunnered was the word of the night so far. So if you want to keep going on that, you can. Who thought Martin O'Neill would still be in charge tonight? There's a question for you, because that is the reality. And I'm keen to see if any of you saw this coming ahead of an interesting schedule, which might well await Wilfred Nancy. It was an action-packed game at Easter Road yesterday. Always is when Celtic go there, it feels like. But there was loads, because there was good bits and bad bits and refereeing debates and all sorts. So if you want to weigh in on that, please do. I'd love to hear from you if you were at Motherwell and Hearts. It was a pretty good 0-0. I felt that's certainly the way I saw it from my vantage point. And anything else at all, the Scottish Cup draw. Come on, Auchinleck fans, where are you? I've not had many on the phones in recent years. Be nice to hear from you and what your thoughts are on entertaining Celtic. Will it be at home? Will you move the game? What are you thinking? We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hanna still starts on -1. So what you missed since you were away? Did you ever go to -1?
No.
I think that's why you left, because your next season you would have gone on to -1.
That's what he's missed. This
he's been back since then. He's seen the coin.
It's all news. It's all news.
You would have gone to -1 because you were that good previously, but you escaped because you didn't want that. Now you're back and you're not as good as you used to be. You're telling us.
I'm a rookie.
He went to -2 while you were away. But he lost a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, understandably so.
So he spat the dummy and he's back on -1.
No, no dummy spat at all.
Connor is in Pollock. How are you, Connor? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
You sound like a young man, Connor. What are we talking?
Yeah, I'm 14.
14. Let me look at some of these questions to make sure they're not asking you big questions in the 90s. I love it, Connor. I'm going to guess you've never...
Most of Gordon Dale's outfits are older than you, Connor.
I'm going to guess you've never played before, Connor.
No, but I play along at home most nights.
How do you usually do?
I normally kind of get maybe lose by one, win by one, or maybe draw.
I like the cut of Connor's jib, as they say. I was just waiting on Connor to say, no, I played before. I played when I was 9 a few years ago against Hugh Keaton. Connor, I don't want to add any pressure to you, but every question you get right, we're going to put £10 to Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures. Can you handle that responsibility?
Yeah, I think so.
Good, you've no choice, to be honest. But there we go, I love it from Connor. I like the sound of Connor already. I always root for the callers, but particularly tonight. Let's find out who you're playing. The blue side is Kenny Miller, the red side is Roger Hanna. Let's see where we go. You're looking at me already. I liked him.
Don't try and get it.
Oh, it's Roger Hanna again. Can you get this guy back? Have you not played at all since you came back?
Three times. Well, this is only the third time.
For goodness sake. Right, Connor.
Good luck, Connor.
You're up against Roger Hanna, who starts on minus one. Come on, you. Right, 30 seconds to Connor on the clock, and your time starts now. How many games has Martin O'Neill been in interim charge of Celtic?
Six.
Who are Rangers' next Europa League opponents?
Ferencváros.
Name any SPFL side who scored four goals in the Scottish Cup on Saturday.
Pass.
Which active men's player has the most Scotland goals?
Scott McTominay.
In what year did Partick Thistle last play in the top flight?
2018.
Which current Scotland international adopted a new name in August this year?
Pass.
Okay, just guess a Scotland player who's got a new name, quick.
John
McGinn. Okay, let's bring back Roger Hanna. Can you hear us, Roger? Are you studying over there?
Sorry, I'm just looking.
Scanning his league table there. Did you see him? Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many games has Martin O'Neill been in interim charge of Celtic?
Seven.
Who are Rangers' next opponents in the Europa League?
Ferencváros.
Name any SPFL side who scored four goals in the Scottish Cup on Saturday.
Annan.
Which active men's player has the most Scotland goals?
John McGinn.
In what year did Partick Thistle last play in the top flight?
2020.
Which current Scotland international adopted a new name in August this year?
Ben Gannon-Doak.
Okay. How was it, Connor? Been on. No pressure for you. You sounded confident.
I felt the pressure.
You did. Do you know what the thing is? I was going to say this before we started. I think they were particularly tough tonight. I genuinely did. I meant to say that before we started. How many games has Martin O'Neill spent as interim of Celtic? You can count them up. You've got the league games against Falkirk and Kilmarnock at home, St Mirren and Hibs away, Rangers in the Cup, Midtjylland and Feyenoord. It is seven. And Connor said six, and I thought he was going to be off to a flyer.
Well, I actually wondered if it was eight. So I was caught between seven and eight.
And you dug that. Oh, you're so lucky. That was a guess, honestly. I'm not happy with that, Connor, that he's managed to go level, because he starts on minus one, so that's your level now. Rangers' next Europa League opponents are Ferencváros, which Connor got. Well done, but so did Roger, so we are still level. Name any SPFL side who scored four in the Scottish Cup on Saturday. You had the choice of Airdrie, Elgin, Stenhouse Muir, or Annan, I'm afraid. So Roger goes one in front.
Thanks to Cammy Bell banging on about him in Saturday's show. Remember,
I'm not going to patronise Connor just because he's a young man, but what you'll notice here is even the questions he got wrong. So he's one out on the Martin O'Neill one. Which active men's players got the most goals for Scotland? The most common wrong answer, Connor, would be Scott McTominay, but I'm afraid it is John McGinn. Easy to remember, because he's the one that's just overtaken Kenny Miller's Scotland goals, and Kenny doesn't like it, because he didn't get to play in the Nations League. It wasn't a thing back then, is that right?
That's not the reason, but yeah, we never got to play in the Nations League.
Still,
anyway.
Think of all those games.
He had a lot more caps than you as well, didn't he? So he had more chances to score.
Correct, Roger. Correct. Like, maybe,
you know, goals per game,
and
you'll
apparently
be ahead
playing
of him.
On a better team as well, apparently.
So there we go. That is a better team, don't you worry about that. Anyway, right, John McGinn, so two up to Roger. However, Connor, well done to you. Partick Thistle last played in 2018.
Was it as far back as that?
Connor got it.
Connor's well done, Connor.
Yeah, because you'll remember, without opening old wounds, you said 2020,
I did.
That's getting into COVID times. Is that not when Thistle were at the bottom of the bottom of the championship at that point?
Oh yes,
at the bottom of the championship.
Because they get
they were top six in 2017 and 2018. They got relegated.
That's right.
2018, 2019. Got
there you go,
Connor. You've moved within one. However, I thought you would get this one, Connor, because he's the only member of the Scotland squad that's close to your age. Ben Gannon-Doak is the player with the new name over the summer. So, Connor, you did very well. You got three, I think. Was it two or three?
Two.
Yeah, two. And Roger got five, but he gets one off him. So it was a 4-2 win for Roger Hanna. You've contributed £20 to Cash for Kids, Connor. And I'm going to try and arrange for you to come on and take on Gordon DL, because I think you would beat him. I think Roger Hanna was a stretch too far.
I would love to hear that. Connor, you must phone back.
Will you do it, Connor?
Hello.
Good man. Who's your team anyway?
Celtic.
Right, and what are you thinking about their current situation? You definitely don't remember Martin O'Neill. You liking what you're seeing from this new guy that your parents used to talk about?
I mean, I think it's more about just getting results just now, and I kind of want to see the new guy come in, see something, bit something different.
I see, it's easier for Connor's not got the nostalgia. So he's thinking, what's the fuss here? Yeah. The results are good, but we want a new manager. Which you can kind of understand.
Yeah, very
but
much.
I think I would give Martin O'Neill up to the cup final and then give Wilfred Nancy, but I understand that he's also not going to want to mess around.
I know, that is the bit, we mentioned it before the news, Kenny. I never thought he'd get to the cup final, but I also didn't think he would get this close to the cup final and then not get it.
It's a really, really tough time to be coming as a new manager coming when you've got 9-10 days before a cup final, and by not just any cup final for any club, at a club where you have to go on and win. There is no good, and it'll be a disastrous start if Wilfred Nancy comes in Thursday or even Monday and then didn't win that cup final. So, but again, the flip side is, I think it was Philip Clement when he came in, he had a chance to go win the League Cup final within 6 weeks or so. It's a chance to come in, hit the ground running and get your first trophy in the cabinet in the first 10 days in your job. So that would be the way to look at it.
Loved your work, Connor. Very good effort, just couldn't quite get past the brain in here, but do it again sometime. Thank you. There we go.
Thank you.
Connor from Paul. Good effort.
It was very good.
I'm sounding patronising, I get that, but still, I thought that was a good call. I enjoyed Connor. Michael's in Birmingham. Hi, Michael.
Hello, boys. How are we?
All good, Michael. Here. More importantly, how are you, though?
Hey, goodness gracious. How long ago?
What are you thinking? What are you thinking about your team?
Funny. My team is Celtic, and I just wonder if the delay on appointing Wilfred Nancy, whom I am very excited about, by the way, is vindication, validation, or any other word that you can come up with of Celtic support. The current board are just up for purpose. Mac Wilson, where is it? Phil, where is it? Martin O'Neill's fronting all the questions on the new manager, focusing on the football.
Michael, your line's a bit dodgy, and I always say this, I've got the benefit of the big headphones, so I can make it out, but Andy has... in the car and the kids are screaming and whatever else cooking the dinner might not make it out. But Michael's point was, is the delay in Wilfred Nancy vindication for the Celtic fans who believe things aren't run properly? He said, where is Michael Nicholson? You know, why is Martin O'Neill the one who's providing the updates on the managerial situation? Is that a valid criticism?
That's one thing I've always found strange in recent times. You know, Brendan Rodgers, when he was Celtic manager, was having to address he was a public face of Celtic as well as being the manager of the football team, and he was having to address any issue that related to Celtic because he was the only guy who fronted up to the media. And it's been the same for Martin in the last few weeks. Even after the AGM, Celtic, for reasons that have been well rehearsed in the show, had to abandon their annual general meeting. You would expect maybe the chief executive to come out and discuss it in the media, and the interim manager was shoved in front of the cameras to speak about it. So the point that Michael makes is a valid one. I don't think Michael Nicholson has spoken to the mainstream media really since he's been in charge. Even when Martin O'Neill was unveiled the other week,
It was him and Sean Maloney.
So one of the things that particularly interests me about the appointment Wilfred Nancy, who's going to sit next to Wilfred Nancy?
Because if it's nobody, that would be the only managerial appointment I can ever remember, that the guy that appointed them doesn't take part in
it. It surely has to be one of two men. It either has to be the chief executive, Michael Nicholson, or it has to be the head of football operations, Paul Tisdale.
Has he given any interviews since he came?
No, he hasn't. The man who has been basically tasked with finding a new manager and has found Wilfred Nancy. So it has to be either Michael Nicholson or Paul Tisdale. But when they sit there with Wilfred Nancy, I'd advise them to bring a packed lunch because they'll have an awful lot of questions to answer about an awful lot of topics.
Kenny, it feels like you can split that point that Michael made into two parts. So the delay in getting Wilfred Nancy, to be fair, we don't know anything about, right? You're speculating. Is it some sort of negotiating failure? Is it some sort of disastrous process that's taken way longer than it should? We don't really know. But I think the bit that is right in front of everybody's face that you can have your opinion on is, Should this be communicated by someone else? Should it be communicated differently? Should it be communicated better? And by the way, some people might say no, and they're fine with Martin O'Neill providing the updates. But that seems to be the most accessible bit of this debate for all the fans.
Yeah, and I think it's not just Celtic. I think when fans these days, they want transparency. They want to be kept up to date on, I mean, particularly managerial issues. When you've got rid of a manager, who's going to be coming in, when he's going to come in, especially when it's been talked for the last month now that Wilfred Nancy is going to be the guy. It's been debated and pushed back so many times when he's actually starting to. It should be someone other than Martin O'Neill or whoever is the interim manager at any club who's giving the updates. Like you say, Roger, it's got to be a chief executive, a director of football, someone who that's their job, who's taken part in this process to keep the fans up to date. Because all fans of clubs, that's what they want now. You know, they want to be kept up to speed with anything that's going on in the club, particularly when it's so important.
Roger, I'm sure. Chief executive did it. I remember Dom Mackay. Remember him sitting with Ange Postecoglou when Ange was unveiled? You remember prior to that, Peter Lawwell with managers in the past. I think it was when Martin first came. I think it might have been Alan McDonald that was the chief exec. And, you know, that's just what happens. The chief executive unveils the new manager.
Because even on the other side of the city, I'm pretty sure Andrew Kavanagh didn't enjoy flying in to sack Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell and then answer questions about it. But you kind of just, when times are tough, you sort of have to.
That's on the ticket when you take the job, I think, Gordon. That's what you have to do. You know, it's nice taking the job. It's nice taking the salary. But with that comes duty and responsibility, and one of his duties and responsibilities is I'm going to say come and speak to the media. You're speaking to your own supporters through the media. You know, it's not coming to speak to Gordon Duncan and Roger Hannah. It's speaking to every Celtic supporter through Radio Clyde, through the Scottish Sun, through, you know, whichever media are there. And that's what they need to do.
Michael, hopefully the line is cleared up. What do you make about the timing then, and some fans obviously wanting Martin O'Neill to stay or get to the cup final or whatever?
No, I don't. I think Martin has done a absolutely fantastic job. I think he has been a breath of fresh air. His Brendan was just quite sick of it all. But we need a new man, and it just seems like flashes back to Eddie Howe situation. We're waiting because I thoroughly believe that I'm the lawyer and he's the finance. I just don't have a bloody clue. I don't have a problem with Peter Lawwell, to be honest with you. I know a lot of Celtic fans have a problem with Lawwell. I don't. Nelson and Mackay.
Well, it used to be. It was before. Paul Tisdale still. Listen, the line's still a bit ropey, Michael. I must admit, it's sort of coming and going. See, on back in the timing bit to make it kind of about the football. I'm sure we'll get into this when he arrives, but it's going to be interesting to see the immediate approach from Wilfred Nancy, because maybe I'm being totally unfair on him, but these guys, these types of coaches, they're idealists. They're so sure in their own kind of way and the things they want to put across. Is he? Right now, based on what we've seen from Martin O'Neill, is he going to have to keep it similar to what it is? You're not going to come in 9 days before a cup final and change the formation, surely?
Who knows? I mean, I think by all accounts, he's came in and he's sold his philosophy, his ideas on how he sees his team playing on this kind of 3-4-3 way that his team in the MLS Columbus were playing. I'm with you. Like, it's no broke at the moment, you know, and results have started to turn. Performances, I mean, I thought Celtic were excellent on Thursday night away at Feyenoord. Maybe one of the best performances of the season, playing a certain way. It will be really interesting if he comes in and goes, well, this is the stamp that I want to put on the team, and I'm going to put it on straight away, because this is how I believe. Personally, when I look at it and I see the way his team played, because I faced them when we were in the MLS, I don't really see how it fits with the Celtic squad at this moment.
The Celtic squad can't go three at the back, can they?
Well, I don't think so, but it'll be interesting. But there's different ways that you could do it. You could have a full-back in, you know, you see team. Again, just watch Hibs yesterday, they played four, but a beater runs in and it's a three, like the ball in a three. That's the way his team kind of play in possession. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Thank you very much to Michael, 0141 951 1025, 20 past seven on a Monday night, and no one's really called about refereeing decisions from the weekend. Is everybody okay out there? Are you over it? Are you fed up of it? Are you just waiting for your moment? You can tell us. And I'm still looking for that Auchinleck fan as well. Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here. Still loads of time to squeeze calls in. If there's something you think you want to talk about or you think we've missed from the weekend, put us right. That is the aim of the game on here. So get in touch and let us know what you're thinking. Oh, I've got something lined up for you just after this. Something I'd been hoping for. But let me give you your question very, very quickly. Thanks to the sensible donkey for sending this in. This is an absolute belter of a question. Can you name the 10 Scottish players Martin O'Neill has picked the most in his Celtic career? It is a cracker, this. Can you name the 10 Scottish players that Martin O'Neill has picked the most in his Celtic managerial career?
McNamara.
He is top of the list on 175.
Rob Douglas.
Third. Well done.
Paul Lambert.
Second. Yep. I'll take one more guess from you before we bring in the caller.
Trying to think, Ellen, is Tam Boyd on it?
He is down in seventh. Okay, we'll leave it there. You've got four down, six to get. Great question. And if you want to hear your question used on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. What have I been asking for all night? What did I want to hear from on the phone?
Auchinleck Talbot fan.
Oh,
Lennon,
here we go.
Is a Talbot fan from Auchinleck. What more could you ask for, Lennon? Where were you? Did you see the draw live? What did you make of it when you heard?
Oh, I was buzzing. I was in my house, so I was watching it. I couldn't believe it. I'm a Celtic fan as well, so I'm so.
Oh, best of both. Who do you want to win though?
Well, I've not got to answer that one.
Oh, come
can
on!
Can you imagine how bad a half and half strip would look? Celtic, the yellow and black, the green and white.
Celtic can do without a Scottish Cup, Lennon. For goodness sake, you've seen them win it nearly every year. Just imagine.
I know, but I mean, if Talbot win, it'll be brilliant. But also probably be Celtic's worst result ever.
That's fine. That's fine. Worry about that another day. What does this mean genuinely, right? So you've got a bit of a split loyalty, but other people won't have. Just what does this mean to the club and the fans?
It's unreal. So as a village will be buzzing for it. You know, it's great to have Celtic done it. Hopefully done it Beechwood. It'll be unreal. It'll be a great day.
You've got real strong feelings about it being at Beechwood, yeah?
Aye, I think it would. I know Celtic's a lot bigger than Hearts, but they played Hearts at Beechwood a couple of years ago, so I think everything should be alright for it to be at Beechwood.
I think Andy Halliday might have scored in that game, so we'll move on and not discuss it. Kenny, it's just this the old magic of the romance of the cup, right? You can't really get much more than the team that wins everything and has won the Scottish Cup more than any other against what you would used to call a junior team. Not that anymore, but you know, Auchinleck playing at that level, a home tie as well. It's amazing.
It's the magic of the cup, is it? I mean, that just encapsulates everything that these kind of cups are about. You know, like getting there, getting into the fourth round proper, getting there, and again, you're dreaming about getting Celtic or Rangers. You know, and again, I don't know, would you have preferred it maybe being at Celtic Park
for the money?
You know, but for the whole romance of the cup, getting them at Beach would be, I mean, it would be sensational.
Lennon, what would you prefer, the money of being at Celtic Park or the sort of romance of it being at home?
For the club, it would have been great to be at Celtic Park for the money. It would have been, but at the same time, at Beechwood, it'll be brilliant now because Beechwood's parts are a lot tighter and obviously your professional parts. So it'd be great to see how Celtic can play in that.
I mean, Roger, I wouldn't pretend to know what the execs at BBC or whoever are thinking, but
I think we are spoilt as well.
There cannot be more of a guaranteed TV stick on.
It'll be absolutely fantastic, and that'll make a huge amount of money. I know, listen, you know, Bucky Thistle found out a couple of years ago, you go to Celtic Park, it's a fortune, and it would have been great for Talbot, but they will get a lot of money. Games on TV, I think they sold out the hospitality within 2 hours of the draw being made last night. It's fantastic for Tommy Sloan, long-serving manager, a hugely successful manager. But that, he said already, this will be the biggest game of his career. January 17, Martin O'Neill might still be Celtic manager, you never know. If not, can you imagine Wilfred Nancy at Beechwood Park? The whole thing, Lennon, is fantastic. I thought, and started to think, you know something, that's a good result for Talbot, that, going to Dumbarton.
It's a brilliant result, isn't it? It's almost been overshadowed by what they got in the draw.
You see the draw last night, and it's absolutely fantastic. And by the way, you were nearly knocked out by Cumnock a couple of rounds ago.
Aye, that was a close one, so it was. But, you know, with Dumbarton, I felt as if I fancied ourselves up at Dumbarton, so that if we could have got maybe a 1-0 or 2-0, I thought, but the football we played the second half was unreal, so it was brilliant. And to beat a League 2 team as well, I know it's not that many levels above, but still, to beat them 4-0 now, Kenny at home, is a brilliant result for Talbot.
Yeah, I think it was the manner of that win, Kenny. Lennon's right, there's a school of thought out there that once you go to that kind of Lowland League versus League 2, or the, you know, walking Lex level, maybe there's not loads in it all the time, but to beat Dumbarton 4-0, that definitely was the result that stood out for me when I was going through the scores on Saturday.
Yeah, it was definitely in the chat for the result of the weekend, wasn't it? So, again, there's not that big a difference from these kind of top kind of non-league teams in the League 2 teams, but it doesn't matter. You go there and you win 4-0. You know, you get that. And like you say, the draw has overshadowed the result. There's absolutely no doubt about it, but you fast forward 24 hours and you get that draw, you're going, you've got the most successful team in the Cup's history coming down to Beechwood, well, potentially Beechwood, but that's an incredible story. But that's what the Cup throws up. It throws up these stories again, almost out a few rounds ago, and then they get Celtic two rounds later. It's an incredible story.
Yeah, it really is. Lennon, thank you very much for taking the time. That was Lennon, who's an Auchinleck fan, but a Celtic fan as well. Best of both worlds.
Yep, it's no loss.
Well, I don't know. I didn't like his tone. I thought he was going to back Talbot. Because sometimes, Roger, the draw can just pass with real lack of anything exciting. Annan will get their payday. So that, you know, that's.
Oh, the Camiabel Derby. How good is that going to be?
That's great for them. But, Rangers against Annan, Ibrox just doesn't have the, you know, the neutral.
What about Lenny's Dunfermline against Hibs?
Yeah, I like that.
I thought that was a good one.
And that's at Dunfermline, isn't it?
Yeah,
Dougie Emery. Hearts Falkirk. Don't mind that.
Hearts Falkirk, yep. Great. Dougie Emery away to Aberdeen with his Raith Rovers team. Kelly against Dundee. Is it Livy St Mirren? There's some right good games there.
A couple of old Premiership ties, which opens it up for the others.
I will get in before the rest for the shock of the round. Bruni is going to do it for here at Tannadice.
Okay.
Okay. Also, like, Motherwell playing very well at the moment, but it's just home to Ross County just doesn't.
No.
Because it's still, for me, maybe it's just been years of scarring. That still brings a little bit of, it's a bit closer than.
You'd like something.
You'd like something a couple of divisions down, yeah. I think, just to be sure. Don't Motherwell out the Cup last season, a couple of seasons ago. Was it last season?
Your third top of the Premiership, their second bottom in the Championship. Surely.
Right, okay. Thank you very much to Lennon on the line. We can talk about the Cup draw further if you want. The league action from the weekend, Martin O'Neill, Rangers on the scunnerometer from the previous caller who couldn't face much more of it. Whatever you want, give us a call right now, please. Tom is on the line now. Tom's a St Mirren fan. How would you describe your state of worry, Tom? No, hold on. We're just getting Tom lined up. There's lights flashing that don't usually flash. That cannot possibly be a good sign. But we'll get to Tom in just a wee second. But keep the calls coming. I think he's there now. Sorry, Tom. How worried are you as a St Mirren fan at this run?
Panicking, actually. Panicking.
Yeah.
I think, as I say to the producer earlier on, Gordon, I think we've got the cup final in their mind, actually. I think I've got the cup final in their mind, and I think the league is the priority. The cup final takes care of itself. Just being here, it's just an experience for the fans as well.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, it's 6 defeats and 1 draw in the last 7 league games. Now, right in the middle of that is a brilliant 4-1 win against Motherwell in the League Cup semi-final. The performances, well, let's take the weekend out. I think the weekend probably was quite bad. Before that, you know, obviously undone last minute against Celtic. You know, the Heart drew with Hearts in there, beaten by the odd goal here and there. But you can't really argue with that run of form.
It's a strange season for runs like that. You know, St Mirren in the midst of the airs. I spoke to Stuart Kettlewell on Thursday. They'd gone 6 straight defeats before that draw with Dundee United.
But you expect more from St Mirren, don't you, given what they've done in the last few seasons?
You know, Dundee having a bad run, Livy having a bad run. You expect more from St Mirren. I think they'll be fine. I'm going to Paisley on Saturday for Super Scoreboard for the Dundee United game. Come and see me at half time. They will be fine. They've got a good manager there. They've got players I think you can trust
to get you out that position. They're missing the captain. I think O'Hara has been a bigger miss than maybe people expected. But I think you'll be fine.
Crucial run coming up, Kenny, because if you're talking about home games, the last three teams who've come to Paisley have been Celtic, Hibs and Hearts. The next three teams, they've got three home games in a row now against Dundee United, Livy, Kilmarnock. If we're still talking about no wins after that, I think there's real drama afoot. But do you think they'll be fine, won't they, as Roger says?
No, I think everything would point to it being, it is. I mean, they will be fine. But when you're in these runs, it's hard to turn.
Yeah.
You know, when you get into this kind of veiny form and confidence dropped and you're missing key players, belief just takes a big hit. You know, St Mirren, there's no doubt they've punched above their weight over the last few seasons, making it the top six. Again, it's a cup final they've got a few weeks, which again could quite naturally have taken an eye off the ball a little bit and they start looking to it. But in the league, they're in a real precarious position, and in the form, like I say, it's hard to turn that when you as a player, when you're in that kind of veiny form and a team that are in that form, it's hard to turn. So I would be concerned. You know, if I was a betting man, I would say St Mirren will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got Kilmarnock just above them, Dundee as well, who have had a big result kind of at the weekend there, which just jumps them up. But I would expect St Mirren to be okay. But I don't think, again, if you look back over the years, there's been bigger teams in St Mirren that have got relegated.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And just when you think you've had it all, you know, you've had last minute winners against you, maybe a decision or two that you don't agree with, you come up against a manager that changed his game plan based on his dream, and it's your undoing in Dundee. What chance have you got?
Indeed. I didn't see that coming, particularly at 3 o'clock on Saturday when Gordon Dale tipped Dundee. I thought, oh, I had no chance.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say at 3 o'clock in the morning and Stephen Presley woke up and scribbled it down in his notepad.
But listen, good goals, Dre Wright, and as you say, Kenny, Joe Wesley's goal.
Are we having Dre Wright's? Shamal George should have done better.
You know, I think he's drilled it right in the near post. You know, again, it's the old, we should never get done at the near post, mm-hmm. but he's absolutely pinged it through bodies as well, and it's went off the inside of the post. I think it's a wonderful strike.
7 days ago, he sat there and slaughtered Andy Halliday when Andy Halliday said Shamal George should have done better at a goal. Now he's jumping in the Shamal George bandwagon.
They were two very... Andy said that Shamal George should have saved Callum McGregor's. Come on! This was different. He got hands to this. Both, I think.
I think Kenny's probably right. It was a mighty hit and it's gone right in. You know, it's clipped the inside of the post.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, thank you very much to Tom, who is a bit worried about St Mirren at the moment. What about Davey, who's a Motherwell fan? How are you, Davey?
I'm absolutely fine, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad, Davey. Tell me this, right? Were you at the game at the weekend?
I was, and I'll tell you why I'm phoning. You've had your Rock and Lake fan, now you're going to get your bad decision, right?
Okay.
Okay. Callum Henry's goal, right? Well, it wasn't a goal. I'm actually moaning about a correct bad decision.
okay.
But I turned around and I looked in the window where you were sitting and you looked directly at me and I don't know which one of the two is the most more disappointed look in our faces. Anyway,
I'm a professional, Davey. Not like that accusation.
I know. But anyway, I'd maybe like the wee man sitting beside you as a striker's opinion on this. Now, how many VAR decisions have rested on that, like that one on Saturday? Half a shoulder blade we're talking about and you're offside. Now, I've seen Kenny Miller score a lot of goals, and he's had more than half a shoulder blade in front of the defender, right? See these lines that they draw across the pitch? And this is the question I'm going to ask. How about drawing them up and down?
They do, part of the process doesn't include that, so they're not... I think they maybe showed one of the clips in the last VAR review, so there are... And I can't believe you're making me use this... terminology. I think they're called grounding lines. There you go. You'll sleep well tonight. So that's the whole point of that's the Hawkeye technology bit, you know, where the cameras are calibrated, so the angle's taken into account. The line comes down from the furthest point of the striker that's identified, similar with the defender, and then the lines appear across and it tells you if it's offside. That's the boring bit, grounding lines. Yes, I know you took a picture of me on TV at the weekend, and I can see you showing me.
I'm just answering David's question, how you felt and looked.
Quick anecdote about that. I've got that annoying thing where I haven't turned it off, where your WhatsApp pictures still just save automatically to your camera roll. So I went into my pictures yesterday, probably looking for pictures of the kids, and I saw a picture of myself at Fir Park, and I could not understand how it got there, because I couldn't take it. It was off a TV.
Yeah.
So I scrolled through every WhatsApp chat I've got to see who sent it. It was you, and I didn't notice at the time. Anyway, grounding lines. I don't know if people really want to talk about grounding lines. Where Davey's right, Kenny, it is the tightest of tight, and but it's right then, as Davey says.
Yeah, again, but,
what do you do?
You're talking to the wrong guy for VAR for a start, because I really, really
and a striker
don't like
as well.
It. Yeah, and a striker. Of course, I mean, I might have got a few goals, Davey. You might be right. That might have been offside. So, but I think offsides. The one thing I've been pretty consistent with VAR is offsides, offside. You know, I mean, you're either you are or you aren't. It doesn't matter how close it is or how it's a shoulder blade or a toenail. It doesn't matter. You're offside. Again, but when it's tight and it's against your team, because actually, all the grounding lines and all the technology, I'm still one of these guys that thinks, like,
well, that's the thing.
It didn't look right, you know, like the lines don't look right, that it looked onside or it looked offside. But again, you have to trust the technology.
It was a good finish.
It was a good finish.
A great finish.
The rules, I feel like the rules have just made this, Roger, because as Kenny says, you're either offside or you're not. And in terms of that's where they call it a factual decision. And actually, if you've seen the Callum Hendry one, so of course it's any bit that you can play the ball with. So the line, the grounding line comes down from the sort of armpit, if you like. Now he's leaning, so that bit is further forward, but his feet are considerably onside, if that makes any sense, because there's a real lean. Listen, it's probably offside. The only thing I would say, having been bogged down in a lot of the VAR stuff and done the VAR reviews, there actually is a bit of a tolerance built in. So see, when we talk about toenails, people actually aren't offside by toenails here. I know it's a great soundbite and everybody does it. The two lines that go down, so the line that comes across from Callum Hendry in this occasion and the line that comes down from the defender, if they say they're about that width, it's not very scientific, and if you're listening on radio, you won't get it. I'm gesturing with my fingers here. If they overlap in any way, then it would have been onside.
Yeah.
So there is a tolerance built in.
Yeah.
Nobody's offside by a millimetre. They're not. I know it seems that way. So there's a slight tolerance. It looked like he was offside. But as Davey says, it's one of those ones that you kind of have to... You will still be frustrated, I think, by them when they flash up.
What about your former colleague of this parish, Ewan Cameron, complaining at the weekend about the Callum Hendry decision? Not the offside. He was complaining Lauren Shanklin's header was over the line before Callum Hendry cleared it.
Some things are not worthy of a response, are they? let's be absolutely honest about that. David, tell me this. Did you enjoy it, right? Because I'm going to dig out a former pal of mine. I'm disowning him now. He was on here not too long ago. And Stephen Naismith and his buddy on Sports Scene, they called it a damp squib. I thought it was a really good 0-0.
Guys, can I come in that?
That was asking you, yeah.
Yeah. See, I thought it was a good 0-0 as well, to be honest. But I was going to make another point, and it really ripped my net in the night on the, you know, these guys that do the STV and the BBC football on a Monday night, talking about all the games and that, you know. Why, when it comes down to Motherwell, and this happens all the time, why are we always the team that holds the other team to a draw? You know, I mean, tonight you say the league leaders' hearts were held to a draw by Motherwell at Fir Park, right? There was only one team held to a draw, and it wasn't Motherwell.
Dave, my advice to you, because I'm on your side in this, don't worry about that stuff. That's not that. It's because they're the league leaders. But I take Davey's point, because Motherwell were the form team. And actually should have won the game, I think. Is that fair?
I thought it looked a really exciting game, to be honest with you. There was chances again, and I think Motherwell are an exciting team now. They've got three or four really exciting players that get the fans right out of their seat. They make me excited when I'm watching. You always feel that something could happen. That's why I'm going to watch them on Wednesday night.
Falkirk in great form.
Good game.
Great form as well. Thank you very much to Davey on the line. Right, I need to tell you about this before we go any further.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
I mentioned this earlier, but to be quite honest, it's worth hearing again, and maybe you missed it anyway. So right now we've got an unbelievable chance for you to win our incredible prize and help children in our communities that need your help at the same time. Talk about a win-win. You could win a JQ5. It is a brand new car. It is a lovely car. It is worth tens of thousands of pounds, of course. And all you have to do is text the word car to 84901. That donates £5 to Cash for Kids. Now, I know money's tight for a lot of people. I'm not trying to demean it, but £5. Just £5. And you could walk away with the... or drive away, to be more specific, with the car. So it really is. It's It's a great setup, all aimed at helping Cash for Kids, but you could really benefit from it as well. So lines close 6pm Saturday the 13th. We'll announce the winner on here on Monday the 15th as well. So over 18s only, 100% of the donation goes to Cash for Kids. You can cancel the donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes, but don't do that, come on. We'd hope you'd have a bit about you. The rules are all at Clyde1.com, so make sure you text CAR to 84901. And a big thanks to Arnold Clark.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
This is getting me down. Seriously, it's ruining my weekend. The Pundit Predictor. Every Friday on Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard, we give you the chance to win a ridiculous amount of money. Didn't start as a ridiculous amount of money, but it's rolled over every single week because nobody's got it right. We pick three games, that is it. And all you need to do is tell us who's going to win it or if it's going to be a draw. You don't even need to pick the scores or anything like that. On Friday, Jimmy and Paisley came on and he only got one out of three again. So he had Motherwell Hearts draw, well done. But Airdrie Hamilton, he did got that one wrong, and he got Kilmarnock Dundee United wrong as well. He lost out on £1,500. The good news for you is it's up to £1,600 on Friday. So make sure you play the Pundit Predictor this Friday, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. Right, your teaser is a cracker tonight as well. Can you name the 10 Scottish players Martin O'Neill has picked the most in his Celtic managerial career? In order, you've got McNamara, Lambert, Douglas. You've then missed a few, and you've got Tom Boyd.
Simon Donnelly.
No.
No.
That was before.
What about Sean Maloney?
He's fourth, well done.
David Marshall.
Eighth, well done.
Stephen Craney.
Sixth, well done. Take one more guess for now.
Stephen Pearson.
Ninth, well done. Okay, two to get. This is a really good effort. That's a brilliant question from the Sensible Donkey, which he emailed to full, or she, actually, you know, maybe a female donkey, emailed fulltime at Clyde1.com. Things got away from me a bit there, I must admit. I'm looking at that clock. We are nearly done. Is there anything else to clear up? I kept joking throughout the show, Roger. That was sort of surprised. Maybe there's other big stories. Maybe Martin O'Neill situation. Maybe Rangers current form is bigger than the other stuff. Usually on a Monday we get a bit of a moan about refs. We've not really done it. Easter Road, anything you want to get off your I'll run through the incidents.
Go for it.
In order. Right, there's no order because I can't remember the order. Colby Donovan get a booking for his challenge in Jordan Obita. Was that right? Should it have been read?
No, it's a booking.
Booking?
Definitely.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So. No doubt.
Yeah. Sure you're working quickly for me.
Probably just the eye test, which is what I still sort of trust a lot at the time. When you saw it, at no stage did I really think, oh, that's a red card. I think the ref's called it right.
It didn't have the studs high straight leg thing that you always look for,
no.
Didn't it?
No.
I mean, it wasn't a clever tackle, but that's why you get booked for it.
That's why you get the yellow card for it, yeah.
Fair for you.
Yes.
Reckless, as they say, becomes yellow.
Yeah.
Right, okay. You might disagree out there, but these two are in agreement. Liam Scales, handball.
Stonewall penalty, yeah.
Yes, Malik.
Yeah. Do you know what I loved about that yesterday? It was a great one for the old debate because everything's instant now. Social media, the number of tweets. This is a disgrace. How can Nick Walsh look at that and think it's a penalty? Unbelievable. After the game, Liam, what about your handball? Yeah, I thought it was a penalty. I thought that was brilliant. You know, it just so good that the man himself, the guy who would have had the right to be annoyed.
If it finished 2-2, he'd have come in and said it's never a penalty.
Maybe, but I just like that because you don't hear that too often. What else did we have? Oh, Arnie Ingles scores a goal.
Yeah.
Gets kicked.
Yeah.
Now, did he get mean to get kicked? Absolutely not. But I'm the one who always says on here as well, there's no mention of intent in the rules and it's about endangering opponents. I don't know. What do you think?
Listen, I think he scored a goal. He's been really brave putting his head in there. He's came late as well. I think it's very similar to, I think it was one, it was in the, maybe in the semi-final. I've seen one recently, it was like that. Mm-hmm. The player's trying to play the ball. You know, Ingles gets there first, gets his head there, and he gets a little nick on the head. I think the goal's is big enough punishment. Mm-hmm. I think a yellow would suffice.
I agree. I don't think, you know, you talk about force and brutality, but it was when Asgard was sent off in the semi-final, there was a force into Tony Ralston's hip.
Is that the only kick in that game that caused the bit?
There was no force in that one either.
That's the thing, there wasn't a lot of, you know, enough force for the semi, you know, the referee that day. I don't think there was enough force. I think the referee called it right.
I'd be interested to hear on that. I think what probably saves him as well is, see, when if I'm facing you and then I put the foot up, and then the real endangering element of that. Yeah. If the player comes in, maybe it's that. Let's do that tomorrow night if you fancy, because I'm surprised we didn't have. And by the way, Kilmarnock and Dundee United fans, there was a few to get off our chest in that one. But anyway, we're here all week, that's the whole point. Right, quickly, Scots that Martin O'Neill picked the most: McNamara, Lambert, Douglas Maloney, Craney, Boyd, Marshall, Pearson. Two more:
Jamie Smith.
Oh, brilliant, well done, 56 times.
And I'm caught between two. Kenny, you want to show?
I've got one.
Go for it. I'll go for the other one.
Ross Wallace.
Nailed it.
Brilliant.
Who was your other one?
Motherwell's Stephen McManus.
Nah, there we go. So your next in line, your close ones were Craig Beattie, Jonathan Gould, John Kennedy, but you got all 10. That was a brilliant effort and a great question. A busy show as always, so thank you so much for all your calls, your tweets, keeping us company, whether that's the YouTube stream. Please make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. I know you can get that on Facebook and Twitter as well. The podcast, as always, wherever you get your podcasts. And a big thanks to Kenny and Roger for tonight. Back tomorrow at 6. Have a good one.